This is the Ron Jaworski Show, live on 97.5 The Fanatic. Week 7 in the NFL is upon us, and the Birds welcome the 1-5 New York Giants to South Philly on a short week. After last weekend's comeback to the Ravens fell a 2-point conversion short, could that be enough to give the Birds the confidence going into a Thursday night matchup? We're talking Eagles football, and this is the Ron Jaworski Show. Now, here's your host, Ron Jaworski.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Ron Jaworski Show. And yes, we are coming to you live from the beautiful showroom here at Burns Honda on Route 73 in Marlton, New Jersey. If you're in the area, stop on by, say hello to me and my very special guest, Jeremiah Trotter, as we break it down tonight. And tonight's show is brought to you by Bradford White Water Heaters. Thanks to Carl Pinto and all the fine people at Bradford White Water Heaters, built to be the very best. And, of course, special thanks to my friends at Miller Lite, Kramer Beverage, Mark Kramer, Brandon Dalton, for your continued support of this show. And we always have fun. And we are going to have some fun tonight because this guy can play the position, or did play the position, as well as anyone in the National Football League, 12 years in the NFL, a member of the Philadelphia Eagles Hall of Fame. Please welcome Jeremiah Trotter, the X-Man, to the show tonight.
What's up, Charles? How you doing, man?
Well, first of all, how did you play on Monday at the golf tournament? I heard you played pretty good.
I hit some good shots, hit some bad ones. I never play as well as I can in those tournaments because normally I'm the last one to hit.
Yep.
And we've got a good one in the fairway, and I'm just swinging for the hills. And you know what happens when you overswing in golf.
And when you hit them good, they do go a long way, my friend. All right, this show's going to be special tonight because we're going to focus for the most part on some defense. You know, those prima donna quarterbacks, we like to focus on the QB and the guys that score the points. But, you know, when you came in, the first thing I said to you is we're going to focus on defense. And this defense has played the second most defensive snaps in the National Football League. They've been on the field an awful long time.
Right.
So somehow we'll get back to the offense a little later about, you know, ball control and keep, you know, let your defense rest, get some first downs. But
right.
You know, how difficult is it when you're playing, you know, 70 snaps a game? Does it wear you down?
Oh, no doubt, man. It wears you down. You got to try to, you know, get as much rest as you can. The game is four quarters, and, you know, you can't spend all your energy in the first and second quarter and then, you know, try to go out there and play the game that you want to play in the fourth quarter, having all those snaps.
All right. The New York Giants, they finally got their first win
right
against Washington when the Washington football team went for two after scoring a late touchdown, and the Giants get their first win. Their team's struggling, obviously.
I call that the Trevor Lawrence play.
Trevor Lawrence play.
Yeah, yeah.
It didn't work?
Yeah.
It didn't work. playing for Trevor.
Trying to give Trevor,
hey,
baby.
Wait. You know, that's interesting you said that because the Eagles right now are in the hunt for Trevor Lawrence. I hate to say that, you know, but it would be interesting if this team continues to slide, which I don't think they will.
Right.
But, man, you could have – what if you got the number one pick? If not, the Eagles, they couldn't go that far south, could they? Could they, Jeremiah?
Listen.
No, okay.
They're on a slippery slope right now.
Hey, I know. You had a little grin on your face when you were like, okay. But when you look at this Giant team, you know, everyone knew they were in a rebuilding season. They
right.
got a new head coach coming in, a lot of young players. They lose Saquon Barkley.
Right.
Daniel Jones playing very well. If you're a linebacker of the Eagles preparing for this game, when you look at no Saquon Barkley, an inexperienced offensive line, what are you thinking?
You're thinking, man, you got to take advantage of this opportunity. You're not going to get a lot of games like this. Well, you'll get them in the NFC because right now the NFC is really bad, man.
Yes, it is.
So, but you got to take advantage. The defensive line got to take advantage of their offensive line. And you get, when you have opportunities to make plays, you got to make plays. You got to get off the field on third down. But your offense got to help you, too. They can't just go out there and turn the ball over, three and out. You got to sustain some drives. Some games you got to play the field position battle, you know, and right now I don't think we're winning that.
You know, with Saquon Barkley out, what difference does that make for a linebacker? I mean, he is one of the preeminent backs when he's healthy in the National Football League.
Right.
And all of a sudden, he's out of the lineup. They're signing guys like Devontae Freeman who no one would pick up. What does that do to your mind, your mental approach to the game?
Well, you still got to go into it with the same mindset because if running backs get to this level, they're still pretty good. They're not Saquon, but those guys still got a lot of talent. And you know, any given Sunday, a team can come out and start clicking. Hopefully that doesn't happen. Hopefully we can take advantage of, you know, the inexperience you talked about with the offensive line, them bringing in backs late. I'm sure a lot of those backs haven't even learned the system fully.
Correct.
So they're limited on the play calls. So hopefully we can take advantage, especially up front.
Yeah, and you look at this Giants offensive line, they've allowed 93 pressures on Daniel Jones. That is by far the most in the National Football League. So, all right, Trot, wow. You're out there. You're playing linebacker, and you see, you know, they got a converted guard playing center. They're mixing and matching it, the guard position, the tackle position. Are you on a sideline going, hey, turn me loose a little bit here, Coach. Turn me loose, man. I see these are young guys. I can whoop them.
We got to run some of those cross dogs in the double A's. Off the edge. Jim Johnson, you know, yeah. Jim Johnson used to bring the house, man. So you got to go after these guys.
Paul Gunther is a good friend of mine. He is the defensive coordinator for the Las Vegas Raiders, right? And So we, you know, he spends time down the Jersey Shore when he's back here in June and some of July. And he's got a golf ball. Now his ball says double A's. Double A's. and he will drive around the golf cart, and he'll have the scorecard out there. I'm going to use this one. He's on the golf course. We're playing golf. He's under all these double A pressures that he comes up. You know,
is he playing well while he's drawing these plays up?
No. But hey, you mentioned those pressures. That's the good guys do. They manufacture, you know, those kinds of pressures, you know, on the quarterback. And I mean, your career, you know, for a middle linebacker, kind of a sack master, you had 12 and a half career sacks. I mean, when you're on that role, do you say, Coach, turn me loose?
Well, in our defense, it really was never meant for me to come free. I was kind of like the guinea pig, so I was really running stunts to get somebody else free. But, you know, every now and then they'll leave you free and you get a free sack, a little bonus.
Yeah, but you like those green dogs, right? The minute the back you're responsible for decides to stay in and block my scheme, you're gone, man. You got that rocket on your back ready to go.
We call it pressure rush. You're pressure rushing your man. Take it to the quarterback. That's Jim Johnson. Hey, one thing Jim Johnson said, man, he said, you want to quarterbacks hate pressure right in their face. And that's why he used to bring a lot of pressure up the middle, get instant pressure in their face. And, you know, he was one of the best at it.
You know, that is the absolute right statement to make about any quarterback. And I don't care who it is. And, you know, I get an opportunity to talk about, you know, quarterbacks in general and how do you impact quarterbacks. And the number one thing is I could ask Tom Brady or Peyton Manning or any of those guys, say, guys in my face.
Yep.
Guys in my face. Even if they don't get to me, you know, you sense them, you feel them, you see them, and they distract the quarterback from his vision downfield. So I bet you like those double A's coming up the middle.
Yeah, man, especially on the goal line. I know they're not passing on the goal line, but we used to run a lot of double A's in the goal line. I was trying to jump over the line and make a play. But, you know, when you get those double A's, I mean, you get pressure off the side. Those quarterbacks, like, you know, they like to be comfortable, step up in the pocket. But when you get them to moving around in the pocket, especially guys that are not used to running with the football like Brady, you gotta get those guys moving around, get their eyes to come down off the receivers. And, you know, Jim Johnson did a great job of it for years, man. So hopefully this week, you know, we can get some pressure on those guys. You know, try to take advantage of the like you said earlier, the offensive line, and you know, cause some turnovers. We got the defense got to get some turnovers. I mean, got to put the offense in good position too. Now, you know, you just can't think, you know, you playing defense. You got to have an offensive mind from the defense standpoint and get some turnovers, put the offense in scoring position. I remember we was talking before the show, Andy Reid's first year, we had one of the best top three defense in the league, and I think we averaged like 3 or 4 turnovers a game. Mm-hmm. We led the league in turnovers that year. And we would put the offense in good scoring positions. You know, they didn't always take advantage of it. Yeah. We had the worst offense in the league, too, now, that year.
You can say that now. You couldn't say it then, right?
No. I didn't have to say it. Everybody knew it. I mean, they led the league in giveaways. We led the league in takeaways.
Yeah. You know, those sudden changes are what offenses love to handle.
Right.
And I can go back to my playing days and, you know, obviously your great career. And the minute there's a sudden change, it ignites everybody.
Right.
The whole sideline gets up. Hey, Trot just caused the fumble. The other man, you grab your helmet, you run out there. You're all pumped up. The sideline's pumped up. And you know you're not going to call a dive play.
No, coaches now know.
Trot just made the big play. We got the turnover. You're going to get a gimmick. You're going to get a gadget. And you got to strike while the iron's still hot. You know, that's what happens in football. So I totally agree with you that this defense has to start flipping the field a few times with some turnovers.
Yeah, they want to ride that momentum. And why is the offense excited about the defense causing turnover? The defense is on the field saying, yo, sudden change. We can't give up a touchdown. We got to hold them to three or get off the field. Yep. So, you know, it goes both ways, man. But it'd be exciting to see those guys get some turnovers, run interception back, put them in the red zone and make it a little easy for those guys.
You're listening to the Ron Jaworski Show with my very special guest, Eagles Hall of Famer Jeremiah Trotter. And Trot, always great to have you, my friend. You know, you mentioned in passing real quick a moment ago, Jim Johnson.
Right.
You know, and what a designer of defense. I mean, I always use the term, he would rent space in a quarterback's mind. What you saw was not necessarily what you're going to get when the ball was snapped. What made him so special to play for?
Man, just his complex mind. He had a very complex mind. He understood just the zone pressures, man pressures, scan protections, and he understood what he had. He was always going to send one more guy than you could pick up.
Yep.
And his blitzes, you had to be very precise. Everybody had to do their job. One of our most important parts of practice every day was the blitz period. He did not play around in blitz period. I mean, you had to be, you made a mistake, he would get you out of there. Everybody had to do their job. The corners had to flat foot read, which for people that don't know what flat foot read is, line up at 7 yards and don't move because the ball got to come out quick. And just break. Only thing they can throw is a slant.
Yeah.
Right. And break
it's coming.
And we had Al Harris was one of the best at flat foot reading. Mm. You know, so, and it worked for us, man. Jim Johnson, he allowed us to go out and do what we do best, you know. These young guys, man, you would like to see those guys come out this week from the front end to the back end, especially the linebackers, and make some plays, you know. But I think I'm a firm believer. You get what you pay for.
Oh, are you leading me up? Is that a leading
statement? Yeah, I'm leading you into it. I know we're going to get there eventually.
We're going to get that little grin. Yeah, and I know you're going with this because conventional wisdom has told us through the years, with Howie Roseman and this leadership team right now,
right?
And this isn't good or bad. This is just their philosophy. They devalue the linebacker position.
Right.
It's not, when are the Eagles going to take a top-notch linebacker rather than someone else's discards and try to plug and play them when, that position is becoming so important in the game. And not as a downhill player like you were.
No.
And, bust people's face masks and, break their ribs. That was the way you like to play the game.
Right.
You got to cover now. You got to run. You got to run with tight ends down a hole. You might get caught running with a Chase Claypool down the hole, which isn't good. you're asked to do a lot more from that position. But in your opinion, why do you feel the Eagles have devalued the linebacker position?
Jaws, I wish I could tell you, man. I have no idea. I think the last guy, the highest guy they took was Chris Golcong. But he was a defensive end in college.
Yeah.
So he really wasn't a true linebacker. Mm-hmm. Now, if you play a 3-4 and you got a guy that stands up, and he stood up for the most part in college, that's different. But I think Chris Golcong played with his hand on the ground. I think Marcus Smith, they had him listed as a linebacker, but he was a defensive end also. I would like to see him get a true stand-up linebacker. Like look at Baltimore. If you look at the really great defenses and the guys that have been good for years and years, they value the linebacker position.
Oh, Pittsburgh, another one.
Baltimore.
Yeah.
Those guys, they'll take a linebacker in the top 10, top 15 in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. And you look at Patrick Queen down there, he might win Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Yep.
Tampa Bay drafted I forget the linebacker down there now, White. Devin White?
Devin White.
Devin White, he's down there balling. He could get Defensive MVP this year.
Yeah.
So
from the linebacker position.
From the linebacker position.
Yeah. And, you talk about Queen. He's a first-round pick. Comes out of LSU.
Right.
I don't think he's a really good pass defender, but, man, when he cuts it loose and plays downhill,
right,
he can make plays.
Right.
He can make plays. But, when guys are young, it takes time.
It takes time.
Assimilate into, especially in pass coverage.
Right.
What you see from NFL offenses now, I mean, every play, it's a whole new group of people coming in, personnel packages. And, from your perspective, how hard was it when you see these backs you have to cover out of the backfield? I mean, when you see any you Jim call a man-to-man coverage scheme, and you know you got some scooter coming out of the backfield, what are you thinking?
Man, listen, especially like a guy like Marshall Faulk. First of all, if you got me covering Marshall Faulk out of the backfield, you should be coaching anyway, right? So that's right. When we played the Rams, he always put Dawkins on him, mm-hmm. you know. So we was fortunate. We was one of the teams that could have a safety that match up on him. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's tough. You know, you got those scat backs, especially on third down. But that's where the game is going. That's why you got a lot of these linebackers are smaller, faster. They're better in space. And they've been playing in space since they was in college. So they understand. That's the way they train. And, you know, I would love to see the Eagles take a linebacker in the first round. I would love to see it.
You know, I heard this kid, Jeremiah Trotter Jr., is going to be coming out real soon. Are you lobbying?
Well, they need one before he come out.
Yeah, but you want to travel then.
Right.
Right down to Lincoln Financial Field and game on, you know. But, you know, you mentioned, you know, you had to cover a Marshall Faulk on the backfield. That's not fair. It's just not
fair.
It's
not fair, no. It's not. You don't have a Marshall Faulk on every team either, so.
Thankfully, right?
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, I Bill Belichick, in the book that I wrote, Seven Games That Changed the Game, one of the guys I spent a lot of time with was Bill Belichick, and we spoke about what he did to Marshall Faulk. I call it the bullseye game, the Super Bowl game where they beat the Rams after the Rams beat the Tennessee Titans the earlier Super Bowl. And the next year they come back after Dick Vermeil retired, and Bill Belichick called it the bullseye game, man, because everywhere Marshall Faulk went, he hit him. Defensive end would drop out. He said, hey, no, I don't care what anyone else, what 10 guys? You go get Marshall Faulk. That was the respect he had for that. He felt their offense wasn't around Kurt Warner and right. You know, the great wide receivers and Torrey Holt and people they had. It was you had to stop Marshall Faulk in a bullseye. He got hit on every play.
Because you really wasn't going to stop Kurt Warner from getting rid of the ball. He got rid of the ball so fast. Yep. And so the best you could do is, like you said, slow him down. I remember watching the game and just seeing every time he tried to run a flare route, those defensive ends would abandon pass rushing the quarterback and just try to hit him as hard as he could.
No matter where he went.
Right.
I mean, they're supposed to rush off the edge, and they're going out and wheeling, just running with him, trying to hit him every chance they had. Man, good to have the defensive guys here. Good to have the snot knocker type of players. Man, I love that.
You
know,
you got to get sick of talking about offense every week.
No, I don't. So I usually have offensive guests. So I've been way. I used to never like coming out of the huddle and look at Jack Lambert or Jack Hammond. And, you know, they'd be snarling and they're swearing and, you know, snot coming out of their nose.
Snaggle tooth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I don't know what they were on, but hey, but they were angry. I know that.
Didn't they have face masks back then?
Yeah, they did.
What happened to their teeth?
I think those were barroom brawls. They didn't lose them playing the game. So, Trot, where do you see the game going? As I, you know, look at all this tape now, and I get all these profiles of teams, what formations they're running, and, you know, no one has a fullback anymore, except for maybe Baltimore does, and San Francisco,
San Francisco, right?
With Juszczyk. You know, very few teams, you know, they want one back, they want three wide, four wide. Eagles' predominant formation was 12, one back, two tight ends. Well, now we got both tight ends out, which would mandate a change this week.
Right.
But, you know, how difficult is it for you for identification as a linebacker? You know, you looked at the sideline, there's five guys running off the field, five guys running on the field.
Right.
You got to identify who they are. Then you get the call from the sideline. You know, and then all of a sudden you're at the line of scrimmage and they give you a shift. How is it tape study that prepares you for that, or are you just that focused, just that good at it?
Well, that's the spotter's job. Whoever's in the box to spot what personnel is coming on and off. But that's why defenses like to get guys that are versatile. They play all three down linebackers, you know. Most teams today, they play a lot of nickel. Two linebackers bringing a nickel guy. And if you can get a nickel guy that's good against the pass and efficient against the run, you can afford to, you know, leave him on the field for two or three downs.
Yep.
But, you know, you got to get guys that are versatile. Linebackers that can cover, we talked about earlier, play in space, but also play the run. Now, the teams we talked about, Baltimore and San Fran, they're going to force these teams to start drafting linebackers that not only can play in space, but that could also play downhill and play to run.
See, that's the hard part. You can find those tweeners all over the place, but all of a sudden, you know, you're going to have these big old offensive linemen at 340, 350 pounds coming after you as well. Makes it a little bit tougher.
Well, you know what, y'all? The problem is, they're playing so much spread open offense, spread offense in college. A lot of these linebackers aren't taught to how to come downhill, take on blocks, get off those blocks. They just know how to play in space and run, you know. So, you know, now you got to reteach those guys, teach them how to take on those blocks, use their hands, get off, proper fits and all that. I've been watching the Eagles game the other day down in the red zone. They ran the ball, and the fits were all off. Guys were playing over top, leaving the inside gaps open, you know. And, I mean, it's sad to see, man. And then, too, guys don't wrap up these days.
Oh, tackling.
You see so many guys just launching and not bringing their arms. It's a travesty.
Yeah. Well, you know, there are a lot of reasons for that. You know, we are in a pandemic. There are no preseason games. There's no practice. There's no practice tackling. So I expected sloppy play, and I'm getting what I expected, sloppy play. All right, you're listening to the Ron Jaworski Show with my very special guest, the Axeman, Jeremiah Trotter. We're down here at Burns Honda, and oh, there's Jim McCormick out there working hard. Man, that's a hard-working general manager right there. Look at him handling all these beautiful, look at all these beautiful cars. You think maybe we should give you a car before you leave your truck?
Yeah,
I'll talk to Jim about that. We'll see what we can do. All right. We're back with more right after this.
This is the Ron Jaworski Show, live on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Ron Jaworski here telling you to visit my friends here at Burns Honda. We are having a great time here in the showroom and thank them for hosting this show tonight. Now, they have hundreds of vehicles to choose from, including Accords from $209 a month. $209 a month? How great is that? And your choice of CRVs or HRVs from $199 a month. Check out all the other offers and their entire lineup at BurnsHonda.com and take advantage of their amazing offers. Stop in today right here on Route 73 in Marlton, New Jersey for extremely low lease pricing and limited time financing options. My buddy Jim McCormick, who's working the room right now, and his team are ready to help you find your next vehicle. Visit Burns and discover an unmatched car buying experience for yourself. Shop their huge inventory of over 900 vehicles. That's right, 900 vehicles online at BurnsHonda.com. And remember, when you need a new vehicle, turn to Burns. You'll be glad you did. Route 73 in Marlton, New Jersey, or anytime online at BurnsHonda.com. And I'm joined by the X-Man, Jeremiah Trotter, Eagles Hall of Famer, football player extraordinaire. Trot, great to have you with us once again.
Appreciate it.
Big game tomorrow night, Thursday night, short week, beat-up football team. New York Giants are beat up. The Philadelphia Eagles are beat up. This is a battle of survival, man. It's like,
hey. You ever been to a track meet when the race is over and the last two people battling each other out to get across for last place?
Last place, no.
Yeah, that's going to be tomorrow night.
You know, I consider myself pretty well versed in the Eagles, the National Football League, and I'm watching the game last week against Baltimore, and literally I'm seeing all these guys being hurt again. I literally had to get a flip card out.
Right.
And see who some of these guys were. Kroom, Toth. I'm going, whoa. I mean, Kroom played one play, got a touchdown. That's pretty, you'll have a pretty good grade in that game. Right. Play one play, touchdown. Yeah. But I'm like, who are these guys? It's like they're grabbing guys off the street and you have to make a contribution. And here was arguably going into the season, maybe the best offensive line in the NFL. And here we are in week six, and the only guy of the starting group that was out there was Jason Kelce.
Right.
Everyone else is like, who are these guys? You walk in the huddle, and you have to introduce yourself. How, you know, from a linebacker's perspective, how difficult is it when you look at other teams' offensive line for those guys up front to work in unison, to work in harmony when you're going through all these changes?
Man, it takes time. I mean, it takes time playing with each other, understanding what the guys next, because there's certain stuff happening in the game you don't have time to communicate. You can communicate a lot of stuff before pre-snap, but there's some things that happen during, after the ball is snapped. It just takes repetition, practicing with each other day in and day out. You talk about the timing with the receivers, quarterback and receivers, things and so forth. And when you got an offensive line that's as battered as we are, those communication issues, they start to rear their ugly head at some point during the course of the game. So, you know, it's hard to you can't put a finger on what's going on with obviously the injuries.
Oh, no question.
But, you know, to ask Carson to go out, now granted, he wasn't playing good last year and wasn't playing well early on. But to ask him to go out and do some of the things that we want to see him do is, you know, I mean, you're a quarterback.
Right, you know, 25 times. I mean, here we are, you know, literally the third of the season, 25 sacks.
He got to get rid of the ball sometime, too, though.
No question. Hey,
nobody knows your line is batted up more than you. So that clock in your head's got to be a little quicker.
It's got to be working. And also, that guy in the sideline with the play sheet in his hand, he's got to call those plays to get the ball out quicker.
No doubt.
Yeah, and it all, you know, it's never, I would say it's never one thing.
It's always
an accumulation of little things that, you know, cause it to go haywire. And when I watch offensive line, and I know when you played, you're always looking for those hints and those indicators and tips of where the ball is going to be run. I see linebackers over there, screen, draw. You guys are calling the damn play after the damn time because you're prepared.
Right.
How much impacts that when you got all these new linebackers the Eagles are putting out there right now? Although, by the way, I thought Singleton had a really solid game against Baltimore.
Good to see a linebacker go out there and play well.
Yeah. A little downhill.
Right.
Good tackling, good in space.
Right.
Had some quick reads. Some, you know, I think every time we talk about tackling.
Right.
And why in today's NFL, with all these gifted athletes, do guys struggle tackling?
I don't think they've been taught. They've been taught from a young age. I think it starts in Pop Warner League football. Then you go to college, and I think it's blasphemy to see guys go out there and constantly just throw their bodies and not bring their arms,
not wrap it up. You know, I my college coach Dyke Beattie, and I'm going back in years now. We're going back 1970, 1971, and he talked about tackling. You know, and Dyke would go, you know, if someone stole your wallet and you chased them down the street, I'll bet you'd be a good tackler.
Right. Yeah.
Someone got all your money, all your credit cards. I'm tackling that SOB, man.
Right.
There, you know.
No doubt.
So you've got big Jason down there. I'm going to have Jason down there. He runs out there with my wallet. By the way, Jason called the Temple game on Saturday. Last-minute replacement. Did a heck of a job, man. Way to go, Jason Jones.
Hey. You might have just let him have it. Yes. You know, I'm just going to call the cops.
Well, let's see. When I was in college, I knew there was no money in my wallet. They might have taken the damn wallet. The only thing in there was my draft card, you know?
They get your wallet now, y'all. They can retire.
I had to cancel those credit cards, so that's a whole damn problem.
We're going to take your cell phone, too. We're going to take your cell phone.
Oh, that's a problem.
So you can't call.
That's a problem. We lose the cell phone. All right. Let's try to be real here.
Okay.
1-4-1. The team leading the division, the Dallas Cowboys, who are dreadful.
Even worse now without
their
quarterback.
Just dreadful. Lead the division at 2-4.
Wait. So if the Cowboys are dreadful, what would the Eagles be? What's the word for them?
Almost dreadful. Almost dreadful. But I like our chances better.
Okay.
And we know, well, we'll find out about the Giants. You know what? They got a win under their belt now. They're not a good football team. They're rebuilding. We get that. The Washington football team with Ron Rivera, they're rebuilding. The Eagles came in with a veteran team, veteran coaching staff. You know, hey, they're the team to beat, in my opinion. I didn't think Dallas would have this collapse like they've had. Ezekiel Elliott, I mean, one of the premier backs in the league. He can't hold the ball now.
He got that money. I think you gotta shut it down.
Yeah. All right, so now I'm looking, saying, okay, we got New York, Dallas, and the New York Giants again. The next three games at 1-4-1. I think when these three games are completed, we'll be 4-4-1. Your thoughts?
I like it.
Good.
I like it. I mean, listen, this division is up. I mean, like I said, that's the only thing making this season not so bad is watching the Cowboys. Knowing that they suck, hey. they suck just as bad as we do, you know. So
and hearing Stephen A. Smith talk about
it. Oh yeah.
Hey, I had Stephen on a couple of weeks ago. I might have to get him back next week.
Right.
You would think he was like we were when we played. We couldn't stand the Cowboys.
Oh, we hated him.
We respected him.
We still hate him.
Oh my God. Hey. You know, if I would pick up the phone now and call Dick Vermeil, he would get all fired up like we were playing the Cowboys tomorrow. And just mention that name because he hated the Cowboys.
Right.
I mean, when he came to Philadelphia, and, you know, I was in that era like you were the Andy Reid and his team, you just hated the Cowboys. But Vermeil, there was something inside of him. They were America's team, and it really kind of ticked him off. What do you mean they're America's team? We're in Philadelphia. We got the Liberty Bell. You know, we got a Constitution Center. We should be America's team. He used to yell at Steve Sable all the time over the NFL films. How did you coin that term and give it to Dallas? So when this Trot Leonard, when the schedule came out, this, you know, it'd be up there, and Dick would go up and he'd go through the whole schedule, and he had two big felt pen. He had big stars mm-hmm. right there: Dallas home and Dallas away. But that was it. What about the other games, Coach? No, we got Dallas twice.
Charles, where are you from?
Buffalo.
So when you got drafted by the Eagles?
I was drafted by the Los Angeles Rams.
Okay. When you got here, how did you figure out so quick that you hated Dallas? What, I mean, because I get that question a lot, and I give you my answer. I just want to hear yours.
The year before we lost when I was in with the Rams, we lost in the NFC Championship game to the Dallas Cowboys. So that. Okay. That kind of ticked me off right then and there.
Okay.
Then you come here and you realize that Vermeil had been here a year. He knew that if the Eagles were ever going to be anything, we had to beat the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
Because they were the best team. I'll give them all that credit in the world. They were the best team. Tom Landry and Roger Staubach, and they were a really good team. Mm-hmm. And he just got into it. He said, guys, I don't care what we do. It's not going to mean anything unless we beat those guys. They're right. The best team. So everything we did at practice, you know, if we got the the Hall of Fame game, we got an extra game to play. Coach, you get all fired up. You know, we had an extra week of practice to get better than the Dallas Cowboys.
Right,
you know,
right,
so
right.
Everything was about beating Dallas. And you come to the city, and they hate it. I mean, we were competitors, and we hate it. But the fans, they hate it.
Everybody, they say, Shai, you hate Dallas? I say, I hate everybody, but I really hate Dallas. I think every head coach that the Eagles hire, I think the owner sits them down and say, listen, I don't care which game, we got to win, beat the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. That, because when I came in as a rookie, when we had Dallas on the schedule, that week, everything was different. It was almost like a playoffs atmosphere. Yep. Guys was watching more tape. Guys that normally don't come in early was coming in early, getting extra sprints. The coaches were on edge all week, and it was just a different feeling. Yeah. You had the veteran guys. It's Dallas week. Every night. It's Dallas week. Yep. You know, so you learn pretty quick, like, yo, this game is important. And everybody else hate him. You better learn how to hate him, too.
Well, you know who didn't learn to hate him? Chip Kelly. And that bothered me.
Right.
You know, it was like, yeah, we got 16 games. Every game's important. No, you're wrong. You're wrong.
You better beat Dallas.
You can't walk down the street, you know, in the offseason. You don't beat Dallas. You know, he just couldn't buy into that. And it bothered me. It did. Because
right.
If you wear Eagle green, you're an Eagle coach, you're an Eagle fan, you hate Dallas. It's just the way it is. Hey, there's respect. We get it, all that. But you want to win that game. If you could pick, go 2-14, you want those two wins
to be
against Dallas.
No doubt.
But you don't want to be 2-14.
No.
All right, so it's the Giants, Thursday night game. How tough were those short weeks for you when you get really – you can't prepare. You have a simplified game plan. You have one day of practice. How difficult is a Thursday night game?
Man, they're tough. So what you try to do is you try to come out of that Sunday's game as healthy as possible. Hopefully you don't got too many bumps and bruises where roll an ankle or something like that that's going to carry over. So if you come out with the normal bumps and bruises, you can kind of get by. But your body's kind of on a schedule. You know, you play on Sundays. You got Mondays and Tuesdays off. Hard day on Wednesday, Thursday, half a day on Friday. And your body's kind of coming back as the course of the week goes along. But all of a sudden, you throw a monkey wrench in there. You play on Sunday. Now you play. You got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So you got a shorter time to prepare, which both teams do.
Yep.
But your body, I mean, most times during that time, guys take a little couple of pills to kind of get them through the game. And matter of fact, they used to give
us aspirin, right?
Right, yeah, Advil. So they used to give us pills during the week because they knew guys' bodies weren't healed up. So it's tough, man. It's tough mentally. I can't imagine, you know. And then this year, with all the COVID and everything, you got guys playing on Tuesdays and, you know.
Now, that's been crazy. that is crazy. 5 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon or a Monday afternoon.
You imagine you playing on Sunday or something, you got to play. Come on, man.
Well, how about the fact that sometimes you don't even know? Like, a player may test positive, and you know, okay, your facility shut down, game is Sunday. And you know, we're all creatures of habit.
Right.
You know, we do the same thing every single day. You know, how we eat, how we train. If, you know, we wear the same underwear if we won last week, the same clothes. You know, it just, we're creatures of habit. Now, you don't know, and that's got to affect you. It's got to affect how you prepare.
It's got to affect those guys, and I can't imagine what they're going to go through mentally and physically. But you know what, Jaws? Everybody has had to make adjustments, not just the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, every sports team, everybody in every walk of life, every business has had to adjust. You can just drive them down the street and see the guys eating under the tents set up, you know.
Yeah.
So, hey, you can't cry about it, man. Just be fortunate that you're playing this year.
Yeah.
You know?
Here we are. We're across the street, I see at Burns Honda, I see Olga's Diner.
Right.
I see Fleming Steakhouse. Mm-hmm. And out in Fleming Steakhouse, there's a tent outside.
Right.
In the parking lot. And people have tables on asphalt. And they're eating a $50 steak.
Right.
Hey, listen,
you know what?
You do what you got to do, right?
Adjusting. Adjusting, man. You do it every week and during the game and the game plan, adjusting on the sideline. You just got to adjust to your surroundings. Yeah. And I think they're doing a pretty good job. The NFL has been pretty lenient.
I think they've been
as
terrific.
Far as, you know, with both teams having a situation, then they try to. So I think they're doing a great job.
I do, too. And the fact that we're in the World Series right now, that baseball was able to get through it.
Right.
You know, hockey, the NBA. I mean, there was some normality. I mean, it was far from normal, but there was some normality. And the fact, you know, I mean, the NFL is going to make it through.
I believe there's
bumps in the road, but they're going to make it through. We know there's probably, you know, flu season coming, the weather getting colder, and other things are happening. But, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll have therapeutics and a vaccine very shortly. So, you know, we could have some sort of normalcy in our lives. Actually, go to a game and sit in the stands or sit in the press box and feel good about being at a ball game.
During the summer, I got a lot of questions about, hey, you think we're going to play this year? You think we're going to play? I said, man, do you know how much money is involved in them guys playing?
A lot of money. But you know what? It's your health.
Right.
It's your health. We know there's a lot of money at stake, but, you know.
And we know the NFL is going to do their due diligence as far as, you know, making it as safe as possible for the guys to play, and which they have. And, you know, a lot of guys are happy because there's a lot of guys counting on those checks, man. Everybody's not Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady making that type of money. They're counting on those checks.
If you're minimum around $500,000, Uncle takes out you know, his 40%. You pay some state taxes like here in New Jersey.
You got your agent fees. Yeah.
I thought you negotiated your own contract.
No, I didn't. They weren't doing that back when I was playing.
You know, we're talking about the Thursday night game, and I love the Thursday night game. And because you know how coaches are. You know, they're all designers. They all design. Right. And I used to love Thursday because
artists. They think they're artists.
The game plan's going to win the game, not the players.
Right.
I'm going to give all the coaches credit. They do a phenomenal job.
Yes, they do.
But eventually the players have to make the plays.
No doubt.
But I used to like the Thursday because they didn't have all that time to look at all that tape and study everything and change the whole game plan. So it was always kind of a downsized, simplified game plan that you would execute on a Thursday night game. I always liked that.
Going into the game, you really don't expect nothing new. Mm-hmm. They don't have time to put nothing new in. So you're just trying to execute what you already have in. And, you know, here's the one good thing about playing on Thursdays. You know, you got a extra 3 or 4 days after that game to let your body heal up. That's the only good thing. So plus you gotta win that game because you got extra days to think about it. You know, if you lose.
Yep. Thursday night football here, and what's gonna be 6,000 fans in the stands, I guess, for this one.
I love to see those guys get to, like, you know, 30-40%.
Yeah, I hope so. Let me ask you, because we're probably gonna see, you know, crystal ball looking at what happened on Sunday and spinning forward to Thursday night. I think you see a little more Jalen Hurts in this game. I think Doug he loves these tinker toys. He loves the gimmicks and the gadget plays. I think this is a game with a beat-up offensive line. I think the trickery comes into play on Thursday night.
I think he's going to start giving a few more passes. So he started out running.
He's one for one.
You give him a run. Next time, you give him another run. So this time, he passed the ball back to Carson. I think the next time he's going to be downfield, hopefully.
Well, he's got one downfield pass. He had a little skinny seam off that zone read play. But hey, the kid's a gifted athlete. It does, you know, as a linebacker, what does that do to your thinking when you see another quarterback in there? You still see Carson in there, although he lines up wide as a wide receiver, or he has been.
Well, obviously, you know, it's some, you got to expect some type of trickery when you see another quarterback in there, because obviously Carson's not going to run a route downfield. He's not supposed to be the defensive back.
He blocked pretty good, by the way.
Yeah, he did all right. Yeah, he's a big guy.
I thought he did great.
He got in the way.
It wasn't a pancake.
No. Yeah, you know, so, you know, you got to watch. You got to be very disciplined in your drops, you know, especially the throwback plays and the quarterback rolling out or whatever. Mm. So, you know, obviously I know those guys are prepared for that. But I would like to see him, you know, take some snaps out of the gun. And, you know,
throw play quarterback.
Yeah, play actual quarterback, man.
Make a read. Yep.
If you're calling the shots, at what point do you, you know, make a move?
Well, I was a real life example of this quarterback quandary going in and out with Randall Cunningham.
Right.
You know, Randall would come in when Buddy Ryan, when he came up the system on 3rd and 7 or more, Randall was going to come in and play quarterback. And it was good for Randall because he was getting some experience. But 3rd and 7 and long is like the worst down. You want to indoctrinate a right. player into playing the quarterback position. But I will be perfectly frank with you. I hated it.
Right.
I hated it. Now, hey, I would say the right things. And I'm sure Carson's saying the right things.
Right.
Because that's what you do when you're a player.
You're a team player.
It's team first. But, right. you know, I'm going, okay, you know, I'm playing and I get to go stand on the sideline. Then run back on the field. Then he comes on a 3rd and 7 where I can run back upfield, It's hard to develop that continuity, that consistency. And I know as a linebacker, you hate to come on nickel situation or when they come out with dime package or something. Oh, Trot, go stand on the sideline. Yeah, I know that ticked you off, you know?
Yeah, I was catching my breath.
Oh, come on. You wanted to hit somebody.
No doubt. Obviously, you want to be on the field, but you're fresh when you come back. I would like to see him more like in the red zone. You know, you're inside the 10-yard line or 3rd and short, 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4. Now you add another dynamic that the defense have to work on, you know, because you look at the Saints, the way they're doing with, was it Tyson Hill?
Yep.
And Drew Brees. I know Drew Brees don't like it.
Hell no.
But, I mean, you can't argue with the results that they get.
And it forced the defense to prepare for a whole nother package.
There you go.
A whole nother package. What did you think of the 2-point play? The zone read. The Eagles game. 30-28. Okay, I don't think you liked it.
let's go back to it went for 2 early on.
Right.
I think you kicked the field goal.
I think you take the extra point.
Yeah. You know, but listen, that mentality.
Doug.
That won a Super Bowl.
Yep.
So it's hard to argue with Doug when he make those decisions because if he didn't have that mentality, I don't think we would have a Super Bowl.
I agree with you. So, hey, you know, we're going to win some, you're going to lose some. The win was at the right time. We'll take that. But that's Doug. He's a riverboat gambler. He's going to take his shots, and that's what he does. And I actually think, again, you know, I'm not on that line calling, make those calls, but Mailata, I don't know why he blocked down. I thought he should have blocked you down and run the option on Fort. And that was, again, but there's, you could see Kelsey's waving and the guys are making those internal calls. So who knows? Jason may have called him down.
Right.
But you can't option 2 players. You can't option Judon and Ford. You got to option 1 player. So there was a mistake made somewhere. I don't want to point a finger, but
What year is this for him?
Who's that?
Mailata.
Well, it's his first year actually playing.
Right, but first year.
Third year.
So you got a guy. And it's hard to take it out on him because this is a third year guy that's his third year ever. Not just in the NFL, ever.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I thought the first game he played pretty decent, you know.
I think he's played very well. In pass protection, he's handled the edge rusher, the bull rusher.
He could be the future at left tackle if he continues to get.
I think he will be.
Get better.
Yeah, if I would have put a gun to my head and say, who's going to be your left tackle for the next 5 years? Hey, I'm going to say Mailata. I'm going to go with him. He's playing good. All right, you know what we're doing this, Trot. Got to make our predictions. All right, the 1-4 Philadelphia Eagles versus the 1-5 New York Giants. And your prediction is?
I'm going with the Birds.
All right.
I'm going with the Birds. I think I read today that Sean may be back. And Lane.
I like hearing that.
Yeah.
I like hearing Lane back.
So, you know, I think that persuaded me to go with the Eagles.
You got a score?
Nah,
you know, people actually wager on this stuff. You know,
yeah.
So they like the do they like the cover or not cover?
So I can call somebody to win or lose some money.
You got to call your guy
since you're pressuring me. Let's go. 24-17.
All right. I've got the Eagles as well in this one. I've got them 23-13. That means they are covering.
I went 24. He went 23. This ain't Price is Right.
Jeremiah Trotter, the X-Man, Eagles Hall of Famer. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Ron Jaworski Show. Next Wednesday, we'll be coming to you from the Total Turf Experience down there in Pittman, New Jersey. Great guys. I look forward to doing the show from Total Turf Experience. And my guest will be New Orleans Saints all-time offensive lineman, Jari Evans. We're going to talk O-line next week, Trot. That'll be fun. Good night, everyone, and thanks for joining me here on the Ron Jaworski Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.